It's a great place to visit. We have lots of fun, and the downtown became a number one attraction for us. But it's not the only attraction, you know. It's a vibrant community.
Hey, I'm Eric Dethridge.
And I'm Danielle Webster. We're back again this week with another episode of Prairie Beat,
our weekly news podcast from us here at Prairie Public. And Danielle, this week, I think we both agree a timely topic for discussion is the impending decision surrounding a convention center for Fargo-Moorhead.
Yes, you know, this has been a topic for discussion for the Fargo-Moorhead area for many years, many decades, in fact. And the convention committee has been working hard now for the better part of the last year and a half. And by this time next week, we may know just exactly where this thing will be built. And here on Prairie Beat, obviously, you know, I'm the news person keeping tabs on a lot of the headlines and stories. But I know this is one story you, Eric, have really been laser focused on. Earlier this week, you had that conversation with Mark Bjornstad from the crew over at Brewhalla. And really all the things they've been talking about with the possibilities of bringing the convention center to that part of town.
Brewhalla is one of the top visited locations in Fargo. We design and execute that hospitality experience day in and day out. We do that in the hotel, with events, and with the market itself. That is at the core of what you're trying to do in a convention center, is create an experience for people coming to our community, make it a seamless, effortless pathway for them to visit, have those experiences, create cool moments that are Fargo only so they can get to see what this community is about.
Yeah, initially there were 9 locations around Fargo, imagine that, that were being floated around as a possibility for this convention center, and the committee, which included members of Fargo's own city commission who will have the final vote, whittled that list down to 4. Brewhalla, as we just mentioned there, downtown Fargo at the Civic Center, Shields Arena, and of course, the Fargo Dome.
Yes, and the Fargo Dome has always been looked at as really, that's the spot, according to many people. But the longer this went on over the years, the conversation really changed to, as we've been talking about, it includes other areas, other locations. The Fargo Dome now needs extensive renovations. And there was the question of how to pay for it, too. You know, voters in Fargo would not pass the sales taxes that were being looked at for that. And with all these other locations, Brewhalla included, the conversation continues to evolve and include, you know, longer-term questions, economic development and growth. Fargo is the economic hub of North Dakota, and not having a convention center here means it really misses out on those economically powerful opportunities when people visit the city, experience it, possibly come back for future conventions or just visits in general.
Yeah, one person who knows a lot about this is the recently retired president and CEO of the Fargo-Moorhead Convention and Visitors Bureau, and I got to sit down with him this morning, Charlie Johnson, and have a chat about all of this. Quite an honor to talk to Charlie. Now, many in this region, of course, remember Charlie as the TV newsman delivering headlines in their living rooms every night. Mm-hmm. But after that long career in TV news, Charlie took that knowledge that he had of so much of the inner workings of the Fargo-Moorhead community, and he put them to work at the CVB for 13 years. And the convention center was always a conversation during his time there. Now, this 14-member committee, as we alluded to a bit ago, got 9 proposals for 9 different sites. Charlie said would have worked. They were all viable. And the committee eventually ranked those choices.
So then we asked them for more detail. We refined the RFP for the second round and asked them for more detail. And then they submitted, and then we had another round of presentations. They changed. You may remember there was a little bit of a flap because between proposals, the downtown group decided to move from building the convention center over the parking lot and instead to rehab the Civic. And there was some discussion about that in the public, and we made a point of discussing it at our committee meeting. And I recommended we have a vote, but nobody wanted to vote, but nobody wanted to exclude them. So we kept them in.
And so after that, the committee scored those 4 finalists, and the ranking places Brewhalla at the top, followed by the Civic Center, Shields Arena, and then Fargo Dome. And as Charlie said, you know, of course, each location had positives and negatives, but the overall weight the committee was looking at was which location would make the biggest impact.
You want what is referred to as a good visitor experience, the best visitor experience you can possibly muster for people you bring to town for a conference for 2 reasons. One, you want them to have a good time, remember it, and say, hey, we should go back there, put them in rotation. Let's come back every 3 years, you know, instead of just every 10 years. And 2 is when they talk to their friends in the industry, other people at association gatherings, and they have them. There are conventions for associations that are set up for association leaders. So anyway, when they talk to each other about places to go and compare where they've been, you want them to say to them also, you guys should go to Fargo. If you can fit in that place, you should go because it's a lot of fun.
So one of the things I asked about in that interview with Charlie, and you know, as someone with the second act in this career where the convention center was always a topic, the city commission is expected to choose the spot for this thing next Tuesday. We'll see if that actually happens. After all the discussions over the years, the votes that didn't pan out, all the work done by the convention committee to make recommendations and rankings, et cetera, the final say is with the commission, which is also in a bit of a state of flux right now. Members running for mayor and leadership changing hands. Now, I couldn't help but ask Charlie if the election would complicate things.
Because there was some talk about maybe we should delay, maybe we're rushing this. And I'm like, A, we're not rushing this. We've been working on this for 16 months. And B, I feel like this should be done before the election. I feel like it's this city commission's responsibility to make a choice. You're the ones who are on the committee, and four of them were pretty diligent in attending. John Strand made it clear to me, he says, I'm not coming to the meetings. I'm just going to wait and see what the recommendation is. Fine, that was his choice. But they all took part. So why would you abdicate that responsibility? That's the way I look at it. I don't see why you can't make a decision.
One thing he said that could happen if they do kick the can down the road is the two new members of the city commission could possibly say, you know, let's just start the entire process over. And he did not think that would be a good thing.
We've seen enough, I think, and we're going to see enough on Thursday of the 21st that they should be able to make a decision to begin negotiations with one of those proposals. And I absolutely do not think they should kick it to the next city commission because who knows what's going to happen then? You know what's going to happen then? Possibly. I don't know what's going to happen. You don't know what's going to happen. But one thing that could happen is you're going to have at least two new members on that commission. They could easily say, I think we should start over. Because there are people in the community who have said that, people involved in other versions of the proposals. Maybe you should start over.
Do you get that sense from the batch of candidates for mayor and commissioner?
I haven't heard it from them specifically, but I hear that. I've heard that from some people who've been watching it. I think that would be, I should be careful what I say. I think that would be, crazy. There's no reason to start over. You had a committee work for 16 months. We visited other convention centers. We had people in, we interviewed them. We had meeting planners from all over. We had other convention center runners come and talk to us. We know what we need, and we had good participation and very good faith deliberations by the committee, and there's no reason why this should be kicked down the road.
Yeah, no, he did not like that idea at all. I was just sitting across from him, and you could just sort of feel the emotion there. Now, the City Commission is having another informational meeting about this week on Thursday, which as we record this, that is tomorrow. And then, yes, the day this could all be decided will be next Tuesday, the day after Memorial Day, May the 26th. And I think it's interesting. You know, the committee submitted their recommendations and their rankings based on so many things, so many factors, what they think will work best. But again, the final decision rests with the city commissioners. Brujala is the top-rated choice among the committee, but the commissioners in the end may very well wind up choosing, say, the Fargo Dome or Shields Arena or the Civic Center.
Yeah, absolutely. So I guess we're just going to have to see what happens.
Yep, we sure will. And by the way, we'll be talking to Mike Armendinger tomorrow of the Kilbourne Group, who represents the Civic Center proposal. So we'll get that perspective as well.
Yeah, we're staying on top of this story for sure with more developments to come.
Yeah, Danielle, this story is so exciting, but if you can believe it or not, there are other things happening in the news around the region this week. What you got?
The Minnesota legislature's bonding bill is appropriating $10 million to the FM diversion project. The Trump administration has finally approved FEMA disaster funds to North Dakota after those June 20th and 21st storms that happened last summer. And an arrest was made this week connected to some bomb threat calls made to a daycare center in Kindred last December. Cody Weatherman is in the Cass County Jail on felony terrorism charges, with more probably pending.
Yeah, a lot of stuff going on here in North Dakota, Minnesota, and surrounding region. Thank you for all that, Danielle.
You bet. Be sure to tune in to Prairie Public for more news or check us out online at news.prairiepublic.org.
And that'll do it for us this week on Prairie Beat. I'm Eric Dethridge.
And I'm Danielle Webster. We'll see you on the beat next week. ¶¶